Remember those days of childhood? Sitting out on the porch in summer, reading a good book.
Well, guess what? You can still do that. No one is stopping you. In fact, we're going to make it even easier. When you subscribe for a yearly EPP membership or renew your yearly EPP membership between now and July 15th, we will give you a free e-copy of our book, Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters, Told by Real People. All you have to do is sign up for a yearly EPP membership, upgrade to a yearly EPP membership, or renew a yearly EPP membership between now and July 15th. Email me direct, tony@realghoststoriesonline.com, and let me know you did that, and I will then personally send you an e-copy of our book for you to sit out on the porch, relax, turn the lights off. That's kind of hard to read with the lights off. Use a flashlight or do whatever you want, really. But it's an e-copy of the book you can enjoy this summer. Check it out. Help keep us on the air and enjoy getting a free copy of the book when you sign up for a yearly EPP membership with Real Ghost Stories Online. And thanks for your support. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, how did a not-so-imaginary friend have a very real impact on a living soul? A family moves into what they think is a peaceful new house, only to find out it's anything but. And what kind of paranormal entity was interacting with a child? And what did that entity want?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is the phone number. You can also email in your audio file if you want to record it on your smart device and send it to us that way. Send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Tony Bruschi, Carol Hughes with us today for another episode of the program. And it makes no sense to anyone for me to say, I'm back from vacation, but I'm back from vacation because
the
episodes are in order, so it's not like it was gone for a couple weeks. I was here all along, really, in everyone's mind. But back from vacation, Jen and myself and the kids, we did a little jaunt in the vehicle all the way down.
Little, like 10 hours, you said.
It's right around there. And it's funny because we went to Florida earlier in the year, and like 2 months ago, and drove it. And we got really sick of, you know, doing the airport thing and just how that can just be such a cluster. And, you know, by the time you look at layovers and all that, you could have driven wherever you're going to go. So, we decided, okay, we're going to do this car thing. We're really kind of enjoying getting out and seeing some more of the country with the kids. So we thought, okay, well, let's go down to Galveston. And it's about 10-ish hours. When you add potty breaks of two little girls, it equates more to like 15, but right around there. And we broke it into a couple days, stopping in Little Rock to see our friend Sean, and then in Dallas to see her grandma and an aunt and uncle and some family there, and then down to Galveston. And it was overall a fun trip. Got to see some really neat stuff, even got to do a little research for some of the Grave Talks episodes coming up, including the Hotel Galvez, which is in Galveston.
Ooh.
It's this old turn of the century, like 1901 hotel. And the first thing we said when we stepped foot into it was, this is like the Tower of Terror if it were real. And same sort of architecture, same sort of inside, you know, very Spanish colonial, but, you know, kept up. There wasn't cobwebs everywhere. It was a beautiful grand hotel. I had dinner there.
Oh, so it's still open then?
It is. Really neat.
Like, you can stay there?
Yes, stay there. And they even have ghost tours once a month. We did not take one, but because it wasn't that time of the month for the ghost tour. But we did get a chance to check it out. Really cool, creepy place. And I'm hoping to have them on the Grave Talks here in the coming month or two to share those stories, because it's a neat place if you're ever down there. You've been to Galveston?
You had a really cool picture that you took of a ship.
Yes.
It was an awesome photo.
Yes, that was in Galveston area as well, that we took a little like a cruise around the bay area there. And it's a shipwreck, and it's a concrete ship. I guess there's a bunch of ships that were built around the war times, and they did it because, you know, they're rationing, you know, steel and all of that. So they found a way to build ships out of concrete for the most part. Now, obviously,
I had no idea.
This doesn't work very well. And then once the war is over, they kind of got these concrete ships that are not the most reliable and super heavy. And they ended up actually beaching that one on purpose and then turning it into kind of a reef area and a marker to mark some of the channel there. And but it's the weirdest thing seeing this. It almost, you know, it looks to the kind of a point of like, did they put this out here as an attraction? Because it's concrete and it's just sitting there in the ocean. But I guess they get some really giant sharks by it. So,
oh,
not the place to do a little wading around either.
Yeah, no snorkeling around that ship.
No snorkeling. We saw a bunch of dolphins in the area as well, but I guess they catch quite a few sharks off of that ship. But that was a creepy photo. I think I put it up on the Facebook page as well.
Yeah, it was cool.
I love the old creepy ships. It's one of those things that's always fascinated me. I don't know why, but I've always been so, I don't know, drawn to stuff like that. So it was a total dork moment, and I loved every moment of it. So 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Shall we do a ghost story, Carol?
Yes, yes, yes.
All right, let's jump into our first letter. It's Miranda from Minnesota. She says, I've been holding off on telling this story as it still kind of freaks me out. Let me start with saying that I love your show. I've been an EPP for the better part of the last 2 years and love listening during my commute to and from work as well as all day at work. My story goes back 30 years or so. As a child who has moved around the country a lot due to my parents' employers, I often did not have the chance to make many friends. When I was about 5 or so, I had what my parents called an imaginary friend named Lucy. To me, Lucy was a little girl that was 7 or 8 years old. She had long, straight black hair with bangs, always wore an old, tattered white dress, and carried a little brown teddy bear. She was pale white and always seemed to have dark circles around her eyes, like she was always exhausted. She never scared me and was a comfort to me as we moved around, always ready and willing to have tea parties or play dolls or whatnot. I played with her until my parents settled in Minnesota when I was 10. I stopped seeing her so much as I started making real friends, and soon enough, she faded from my memory. I'd remember her every once in a while, and it just seemed to me that she was just what my parents said, an imaginary friend. Fast forward 30 years, I'm a mother of 3 children, 12-year-old girl, 10-year-old boy, and 8-year-old girl. My oldest has always loved ghost stories, which is something her and I very much bonded over. When she was younger, she had severe sleep apnea and a speech issue caused by oversized tonsils, so she would speak with her tongue between her teeth, making it difficult to understand her. She got her tonsils out at the age of 7, which cleared her speech up significantly. I tell you this as it does play into what has happened this school year. As I stated, she loves ghost stories and frequently watches horror movies with me as well. One day while at work, her teacher calls me with concerns over a writing assignment my daughter turned in. She was supposed to write an original fiction piece to which she turned in a paper following the plot of her favorite movie, Sinister, from the young daughter's point of view. If you've seen that movie, you might get why the teacher was concerned. Her teacher wanted her to redo the assignment with a different story. I thought it was good, but oh well. I told my daughter she would need to write another story over spring break to avoid a failing grade. She asked me if she could still write a scary story, and I told her yes, just to tone it down a bit. She then asked me if she could write a true scary story, and again I told her yes, just to keep it toned down, as her teacher wasn't a big fan, although we were. A couple of weeks later, my daughter's teacher sends me an email stating that the story was much better and attached a copy of it for me to read. I was shocked when I read it. Her story started when she was 5. She spent a lot of time with her grandmother on weekends, as my husband and I frequently had military training. One day she was riding in Grandma's car and Grandma hit a deer. Grandma had called me as Kayla was inconsolable. At that time, my daughter had her speech issue, and me, nor my husband, could understand what she was saying. We attempted to reassure her that it would be okay. Both she and Grandma were fine, and hitting the deer happens. Grandma took her home, and she calmed down. In her story, she said she vividly remembered being frustrated because we didn't understand that she wasn't crying over the accident with the deer. She was crying because a little girl standing just outside her window was scaring her. She said the little girl had long, straight black hair, wore an old white dress, and carried a little brown teddy bear. She said that around the girl's eyes were light purple color, which looked like bruises. After that night, she went on to explain that she would see the girl frequently in her old apartments, at grandma's house, at school, random parks she visited, etc. She'd always keep her distance, but my daughter felt like the little girl was watching her. When she started in her new school, she started seeing the girl less and less, but still sees her on occasion, especially when she's lonely. I never told my daughter about my imaginary friend, but I was reading about Lucy in my daughter's own words. I've yet to tell her about my past with a child, but will eventually. I asked her if it was all true, and my daughter said yes. I asked why she didn't tell me, and she said she thought she did, and she might have been so frustrated with her speech that she didn't bother again. I told her I loved her story and that she should write more as a remembrance. My other two children say that they have never seen the girl my oldest described in her story. I want to keep the story to talk to her about it when she's older. Maybe if she has children, one of them will see her as well. It is an odd sensation when you realize your imaginary friend from childhood may actually be a ghost, especially that she may be following you and your family. Again, she never scared me and seemed to understand that my daughter was freaked out by her presence, so she kept her distance while still being around. Thank you for reading this. It just feels good to get it off my chest, although I'm not ready to tell her yet. I'm sorry the story is so long, but I hope you enjoyed it. Keep up the awesome work, and I hope to hear this on your show. Have you ever had an imaginary friend, Carol?
Well, I was going to say no, but maybe I don't know. Maybe I thought the kid was real. No, I don't. I never have. No.
When you were little, I mean, not necessarily that you saw the friend, but did you ever like pretend or anything of that nature? Like there was somebody you're playing with?
No.
No. Okay.
Well, you know me. I've always been really social.
Sure.
So I'm the kid out
you
looking for
real
other friends all the
yeah.
time. But no, but I know people who have.
Yeah.
But I've never heard that particular story where it's like the same kid.
Mm-hmm. And it carried to another
What's
generation.
What's up with that?
Yeah, it's very bizarre. We get a lot of stories like this. Even Jen had a story like that of her own childhood friend. And on a very early episode of this show, we were talking about imaginary friends. And I said, well, I guess I had an imaginary friend. It was really just my conscience. And I named it Mark. But I never saw it. I knew it. I knew it was just me pretending to play with somebody.
You were an only kid.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's,
you know, so sometimes you think, well, maybe an only child
yeah.
looking for a friend.
Exactly. So I would kind of do that sort of thing. But I always assumed, well, no one else is. It's imaginary. You're not really seeing the other kid. But a really interesting thing about stories and imaginary friends that we hear on this show so frequently are kids going, wait a minute. You mean you guys didn't see your imaginary friends? Most of us are like, no, that it was imaginary. But so many people have had experiences like that where they've actually seen the friend. They thought it was normal. And sometimes it takes to adulthood to almost have that realization of, oh, wait a second. That is not as common as I thought it was.
And I think with kids, you know, they don't know any different. You know, they're seeing this child.
Yep.
And how would you know? Because you're a kid. You don't really, you know, some of those lines aren't so black and white.
Yeah. Especially if it's just like showing up in your room. I mean, as an adult, you'd be, why is there some child randomly here in my house?
I would be scared to death if a kid showed up in my room.
I think I would too. But, you know, there's a lot of kids, depending on their age, that are just like, oh, someone's here to play.
Yeah.
And they don't really care. It's just someone there to play. But very bizarre that, it can follow. And it's interesting that it was a calming force for the mom. But then for the child, it was alarming.
Yeah.
And you have to wonder, was it alarming just because, you know, maybe she sensed that this was a ghost and shouldn't be there? And just the visual of it was kind of an alarming thing, you know, or was the presence itself giving off some sort of a vibe or something that wasn't so positive.
And do you think that the kid, now the mom, you know, as you get older, I think you kind of lose that ability too. So the mom, maybe she just can't see the kid anymore.
Yeah.
The other kids in the family, they're not open to that.
Mm-hmm.
And this kid is.
Yeah. Maybe the kid's been there all along, and it's
yeah.
just one of those things where you kind of get older, and whatever that sensitivity, that openness has kind of faded away. But maybe it's been there kind of as like a guardian type thing.
I tell you, I'd be having a talk with that kid. I'd be like, hey, kid, leave my kid alone.
I know you're scared of you, a ghost kid. I've been following me around for the last 30 years, but it's time we kind of parted ways.
Show up so I can see you,
yeah,
kid.
Exactly. 855-853-4802, our number. Next letter comes in, says, my parents and siblings moved into a relatively new house roughly 7 years ago in New Jersey in the fall of 2005. Not long after, I moved into my dorm at college. I got to visit during Christmas and summer break, and I believe I am slightly sensitive. I could sense something that wasn't friendly the first time I visited in Christmas of 2005. And just to forewarn you, I won't have all the details of what went on because I was halfway across the country for most of the years they lived there. It wasn't long after they moved in that things started to happen. The faucets, especially the one in the kitchen, would turn on and the ice maker would go off. One of my sisters saw the apparition of a little girl and her phone was also moved. My brother saw the apparition of an old man. My other sister's room and the bathroom next to it seemed to have the most activity. Her closet door, dresser drawers, and jewelry box lid would open and would be that way whenever they returned to her room only a few minutes after she had left it. She found her yearbook that had been in a sealed moving box under a stack of towels in the bathroom. It was one morning where she woke up to find her bed at a 45-degree angle to the wall when it was parallel to the wall when she went to bed. The dog refused to go into her room. The radio in the living room would randomly turn on. The basement was super creepy. Every time I went down there, it felt like something was watching me. I did not like going down there and would avoid going down there by myself as much as possible. Every time I did, I felt as if something was chasing me back up the stairs. I think it had followed my mother to work one day. A box had fallen off a shelf, and when they went to investigate, there was not a spot that it could have fallen from. They finally went to their pastor, and they got something to drive out the spirit or demon that was in their house. They've since moved back to Texas and haven't had any problems since. That was all I could get from my family. They were reluctant to tell me what they did. Love the show. I have a few more short ghost stories if you would like to hear them. So a family that experiences a haunting, luckily one of them's away and just hears about it secondhand. I would be really digging into my family to get more of the story. Obviously they got quite a bit, but how did it, you know, really affect them other than just here's the facts of what happened?
Well, they must not want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you're so terrified, you ignore it. Hopefully those memories go away.
But they don't.
The bed thing, like the entire bed was moved.
Yeah.
That's not just a little creepiness.
No, I mean, and I think talking about things like that are what kind of helps you get through them. I think the last thing that most should do is just let's hold this back and kind of pretend it didn't happen and we're going to move on now. I mean, you don't want to dwell on it, but it's one of those things where it probably needs to be dealt with in some way, shape, or form.
You know, though, sometimes I don't know her family. But sometimes the parents are the ones who lead that, like, well, we're not talking about that. We don't want to talk about that because we were all traumatized. Let's move on.
Yeah.
And it could have been something like that. But that's a lot.
It is a lot.
For that family to go through.
Sometimes just getting it out. I mean, granted, maybe that might be what the writer was doing for their own sake of just, my family had these stories here. Here's what they are. But if you're the one that's experiencing it firsthand.
Remember when we were talking about the haunted house when I lived in as a kid?
Yeah.
There were stories that we did not share
until
we were adults. And I think it was kind of like we all hated it so much.
Mm-hmm.
That it was like, once we left, I was so glad to be out of that house.
Sure.
And I'm ready to move into a place that doesn't freak me out every day. You know, I was 12.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd lived there since I was 6. So it could have been some of that, too.
I could see that.
Like, relief.
Did you find...
Especially since it didn't follow them to the new house.
Did you find relief when you were an adult and you started then sharing and you and your sisters were comparing some of those stories of what occurred all those years later?
No, not really.
No?
Primarily because I knew it had happened, but yeah. I'd always hated the fact that it had happened and I didn't like living like that.
Mm-hmm.
So... and I knew, like, everybody in my family had stories.
Yeah. It wasn't like it was a secret or anything. It was just everybody had different paths of stories that just kind of corroborated it all. Yeah. It wasn't like it was something where we don't speak of this. It's just, hey, I don't think I ever shared that one with you.
It was like, hey, glad to be out of that house. Yeah.
That's understandable.
I've never felt like I was so relieved that day we moved away. And it was like I wanted to go someplace new and not have to deal with that.
Sure.
Like, that family could have kind of felt like that, too.
I could see that. And that does make sense from that perspective. 855-853-4802 is our number. Next letter, hi, from Australia. The story isn't my own, but considering my children are only 3 and 1, I'll be the one telling it. It was 2 years ago now that we moved into this house, and thankfully we are moving out this week. We took over this house from my auntie and her 3 daughters. It has 3 bedrooms, all off the hallway. So you have 1 room, my son's, followed by room 2, my daughter's, and my room just at the end of the hall. A little background story. My auntie's youngest daughter, who would have been about 8, refused to go into the middle room, wouldn't sleep in there, wouldn't play in there, just said the room was creepy. So we moved in when my son had just turned 1 and I had only just found out I was pregnant with my daughter. At first, we had our son in the middle room so he could be close to us. I didn't think much about it at the time, but we'd wake up dead at 9:30. We'd wake up dead on at 9:30 p.m. every night. When he woke up, he'd be screaming and just couldn't be settled down unless we put him in our bed. Fast forward to my daughter's being 6 months. We moved our son into the front room and our daughter into the middle room. My son stopped waking up at night and would sleep right through the morning. My daughter loves her sleep, so we didn't have any problems with her either. So we put it down to our boy just having night terrors. Now, fast forward to my daughter being 11 months, just a few days off from being 1, actually, and she started waking up the same way our son used to, screaming at 9:30 p.m. Once again, thought maybe it was a night terror stage. We put her in our bed and it would be over. One night, the clock hit 9:30 and she started screaming. My son was still up, so he thought he would come with me to check on his sister. He walked in the front, opened up the door, and then he too started screaming, "Don't go in there, mommy. The man, he's back." I looked in to see nothing, but the way my son was, I knew there had to be something in there. So I grabbed them both and we jumped in my bed and I held them both until they both fell asleep. My partner works night shift, so it was just us most nights. Next day, I put my son in the shower and went to get his clothes ready for the day when I heard him screaming again, "Mommy, he's in here. Please help me." I ran to the bathroom to see my son on the floor of the shower, curled up in a ball, crying. I asked him to tell me what he saw, and he told me there was a man with really mean eyes, and he was laughing. After that, it seemed to leave them alone for a while, until now. 9:30 p.m. on the dot, my daughter started crying in pain. I got her up, and this time she just couldn't calm down. So I thought, okay, we'll try a fresh nappy and some Nurofen, thinking that she was getting her molars, which would explain why she was in so much pain. As I was changing her, I looked at her ankle to see that there was 3 deep-looking scratches, starting from her mid-calf down to the back of her foot. I instantly started crying with her. When she finally calmed down and drifted off to sleep, I went into her room to check her bed to see what might have scratched her so severe, to find nothing in her bed that could give me an explanation. So I started making her bed and putting her toys away. When I started to get the feeling of being watched, I turned to walk out of the room thinking nothing of that feeling. And when I saw him, standing there in the corner of her room with a wicked smile and red, mean eyes. This deep, loud laugh started playing in my head. Standing there, frozen, looking at this man, I started getting cold. I turned to the door and started running, and all I can remember was me basically screaming the Lord's Prayer as I was running out of the room. The middle room now remains empty and the door shut. No one, not even the cat, will step foot in that room, and once again, we're moving out of this house this week, which I can't fucking wait for. But the feeling of being watched still remains. Thank you for reading my long story. Thank you for having all of this as an outlet for all of us who have had someone to tell our stories to and not be judged. Well, that seems like a lovely situation.
Oh, my. Like, you know, it's messing with her kids.
Yeah.
And that well, and then she ends up seeing it, too. But my God, as a mother, I couldn't even imagine. I couldn't imagine.
No, I mean, at what point, you know, when you see the scratches, even if I didn't have a place lined up, I think I'd be like, okay, I think maybe we're going to go to the La Quinta down the road and stay there and enjoy some continental breakfast for the next however long it takes to find another place to live. Because once it's something physically that's happening, that just gets scary. I mean,
and with some people too, it's just hard, you know. Depending on your financial situation, you can't just leave.
Sure.
And you don't have enough money for a deposit on a new place. And
yeah.
And then you're stuck there.
I mean, what do you do? I mean, other than that, I mean, it's going and sleeping in a car. And then,
yeah.
I mean, that's not very safe either. Then you have humans to worry about. And you have two little kids. It's not a safe or a win-win situation or an easy solution any way you stretch it.
What is it with a demon that's all about the middle room? I'm like, if you're such a demon, can't you get in any room? I'm glad that he stayed in the middle room. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, it's like, I don't even, what is it about that room?
And what is it about the time, too? I mean, it's funny.
At 9:30, something had to have happened in that room at 9:30.
That would be my guess. Oftentimes you have it's the 3 a.m. hour is what you hear so many things happening at. But yeah, a 9:30 seems like a very odd window for this to be occurring. As far as what happened, I don't know. I really hope that for their sake, when they move to their next place, that this thing remains where it's at.
Don't even put that thought out there. She's going to get to a new place.
Yeah.
Life's going to be great.
It'll be lovely and wonderful and sage the shit out of that place.
Exactly. There's going to be butterflies everywhere.
Exactly. Yeah.
But you know what's sad about that situation as a parent would be you were putting your child in that situation, but you didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
You just think, well, the kid's waking up screaming and it's 9:30, but that doesn't mean that your kid's seeing a demon.
Yeah. Until they actually were able to see it with their own eyes. But obviously, you know, you got some evidence there when both of them are saying, hey, the man, and then the confirmation comes of, oh, God, there is the man.
And it's like, has this been what's been waking my kid up all this time?
Mm-hmm.
I
wonder if that'll be on the real estate listing for the comes complete with Demon Man who will freak your children
9:30
out.
9:30 every night. Just leave the house for a while.
Who needs Siri or Alexa for an alarm at 9:30 every night when you got Demon Man that will just show
up?
You'll
wake up screaming.
Exactly. It's so much more effective. 855-853-4802 is our number. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. My name's Anna. I'm from Wisconsin. So my story that I'm calling in today is actually my grandma's story. So I think my grandma's either like super sensitive or I don't know another word for it, but basically she sees, I guess, apparitions of her old dog every single night up until she got her new dog. She kind of took it as, I guess, her old dog telling her, like, it's okay to get a new dog was kind of how she interpreted the whole situation. But the story that I'm actually calling in for was about my grandpa, her husband. So my grandpa passed away a few years ago from Alzheimer's. And my grandma's sister moved in to her house with her. And apparently, every single night, my grandma wakes up and an apparition of my grandpa is sitting on her bedside. So she'll wake up and he's just sitting there, or sometimes he's standing in her room. And I'm not really quite sure, I guess, the meaning behind it. I asked my grandma if it was like a full body apparition, and she didn't even know what apparition meant. So kind of hard to get information out of her, but she has had, she says, her guardian angels have helped her. She fell down a flight of stairs, and which, you know, should have killed her. But when she was at the bottom of the stairs, she had, you know, someone, I don't think she could see him, but she felt hands underneath her armpits help her up. And then when my grandma died, my the grandma that I've been talking about, she had a really, really bad feeling that day. And she didn't know what it was. She drove back to the house multiple times, checked all the doors, checked all the windows, like nothing was wrong, but she knew that something was wrong. Something was happening just yet. And unfortunately with my grandma dying, my other grandma. But I just thought that was a really cool story. She's lucky enough where someone close to her passes away or, you know, an animal. She does get visited from them, and I'm pretty jealous of her because mine are not under my control as much. So I would consider myself sensitive to energy, like extremely sensitive to energy, but I can't really talk to spirits. I kind of second guess myself a little too much with it, and my anxiety is just too high. It's kind of like a constant static where I can't tune into it, but it's getting better. But yeah, I thought that was a cute little story. So I hope you guys enjoy your day.
What do you make of that? Of the grandpa showing up and kind of being a presence for a while there?
I think it's beautiful.
Yeah,
I really do. And I think that happens really, really, really frequently. We just don't see them. I think they're there. I don't think many of us can actually see them. I think you can sense them. Mm-hmm. And I think there are times that, like in her case, she's probably more open to it than what she realizes. She's just waiting to look for grandpa sitting there, but might be missing some signs, other signs that he's sending her.
Sure.
You know, you want that hit you over the head sort of. I want like what my grandma had. But she might be getting some that she's not really noticing because she wants the big one, like actually seeing him. And I think very few people can do that.
Sometimes it's the stuff that's right in front of you that you're ignoring or you're kind of writing off as, well, that's just a coincidence or this or that. And sometimes it may just take time for that to even make sense, to go, wait a second, that was weird that all those things like this happened around this time window or this or that, you know?
Yeah, because you want that big, like waking up and seeing him sitting there, which would kind of freak me out, actually. But I would love to see one of my dogs. That would be amazing. I love that she saw dogs, too.
Yeah.
But I just think there are very few people that have that ability.
Have you ever had, because you are a big pet person. You've had many, many pets throughout your life. After one has passed, have you ever felt like one was back, even just for a moment, like a visit, or was still kind of hanging around or anything of that nature?
I had the dreams.
Yeah.
Those really, you know, those dreams that you have, like where you have that, they come to you.
Sure.
In that dream. And I've had that.
Okay.
But, and then I had this dog, Jimmy, and Jimmy was kind of crazy. And I always felt like I didn't really get him well enough to be a good dog trainer for him. And he had these little weird things he would do, like where he would do his business would be in a weird place. I'm like, Jim, you are so weird. So one day I always thought, I wish I could have a do-over with Jim. And now I have Buddy. And one day, and Buddy, as you know, has been a difficult dog to train.
Sure.
And one day Buddy was doing his business in a weird place, and I'm like, you're just like Jim. And it hit me. I'm like, oh my gosh, did Jim bring me a do-over dog? Like, this is amazing. I don't know if Jim could have pulled those strings, but it's interesting because I was like, I need a do-over, and I got a do-over dog.
Yeah.
I think it's totally possible. I love that she would see her dogs.
Yeah. I think pets come back quite often. And I think sometimes we write it off as, well, it's just, you know, because a lot of it, it's habit and things like that. Like I said, I've had that story where I felt like my cat was jumping on my bed when I was a kid, and I never even thought ghost anything. And I'm obsessed with ghosts. But it never even ran across my mind that maybe that's what it was until years later, and going, wait a second, that's not normal. There was something going on there. But I think that we get into our routines with them and such that sometimes we, you know, we ignore some of the obvious things that
is a pet jumping on a bed. That's a very distinct feeling on your bed.
It is. And I mean, one time, like, oh, maybe it's just I'm used to something. But if it keeps happening, you got something else going on. So and that's what I'm going to stick with, at least for my belief of my cat coming back. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an EPP extra podcast person. Go to ghostpodcast.com and sign up to V1. Get access to all of our bonus episodes of the program. More than 200 at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.